I appreciate the prayer request and the follow-up that people gave this morning. I do know about Philip Mackey. We've been keeping Philip in our prayers, and he is doing better. He is on the road to healing and recovery. He had some surgery this week. I understand it was something with the intestinal issue, and that's all I can really share. But I do know from communications that the surgery was successful. So we keep Philip Mackey in our prayers for his recovery. The sermon for this morning is entitled, What to Stow and What to Throw, and I'll explain that in the course of the message, what that's all about. The first reading, there are two readings this morning. The first is from Ecclesiastes. It's somewhat familiar. It's a time, it's a passage that talks about how there is a season for everything. Beginning in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, these words. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then in Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading beginning at verse 19, to 21, and then I pick up again at verse 25. It's a passage concerning our earthly treasures. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves, says Jesus, treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let us pray as we come to the sermon this morning. O Lord, open our minds and hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that now, as the scriptures have been read and your word is about to be proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you have to say to us today. May we discern just that for ourselves. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you noticed, our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, it pointed out to us that there are appropriate times and or seasons, some translations say, times or seasons for everything. And the writer actually mentions 14 pairs of such times or actions, if you will. Among these pairs of actions, he mentions, for instance, that there is a time, a right time to be born and a right time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest what is planted, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. And among all these pairs, he finally mentions a time to keep and a time to throw away. Now, that phrase jumped out at me. And it jumped out at me because after all these years, I think I have learned a few things from the annual garage sale. The annual garage sale held here for so many years has caused me to reflect on possessions and things, earthly things that I have and that we have, Joyce and I, and what to keep and what to throw away. I was joking this week with Emily and Stephanie about the sermon title, and I almost entitled it, What to Hold On To. But then I thought, no, that wouldn't be right, because the pairs tell a story. There is something to keep, but there's also something to throw away. These are written in pairs, and that's very important to the writer. But anyway, I've learned all this from the garage sale over the years. Someone I know will say after today's sermon, you should have preached that sermon before the garage sale. But if I did that, I might have erroneously been credited with such the huge successes we've had over the years. And that wouldn't be right, because the success has come from your throwing things away. No doubt you have kept some things. We'll get to that in a moment. And so I'm preaching today what I have learned from you from the annual garage sale. That's where this sermon comes from. And this morning, I don't want to cause any family arguments. I don't want to cause any difficulty among you or your friends, you in your relational circles. But perhaps you know someone in your family who is a saver. There usually is a person who is a saver and a recycler. There is in my family. My wife Joyce does art, and much of that is from stuff that's recycled. Some people are savers and recyclers. I have a friend who keeps newspapers, and now he keeps less newspapers because they publish less newspapers. But he's afraid that if he throws something away, he won't be able to go back the next week and say, oh, I need to go back and reread that story. And so he keeps papers, and he's afraid to throw the papers away. So much so that he really is a hoarder. He keeps way too many newspapers. A few years ago, you may remember they did a TV show about hoarders. And some of you may have thought about turning in one of your family members to be on the show, right? Perhaps some of you have had to rescue a favorite pair of shoes or slippers from the door that were headed to Goodwill. And you said, no, I want to keep those shoes. Don't throw those away. I have a shirt at home, a t-shirt. I love the shirt. It has holes all in it. It's so old, but it is so comfortable. And Joyce can't stand that shirt. I just love it. You would be embarrassed to see me in it. I was born in 1960, and someone said I still look young. They were retired this morning, and they said I still look young to them, that everybody else does too. But in 1960, I remember later on growing up, and my dad would take me and my older brother. My younger brother Danny wasn't born yet. I often remind him of things my older brother and I did, and he said, I never got to do those things. And so we were born too late. But my dad would take us to a little country store in our town, and we would go there, and he would buy us a couple of packs each of baseball cards. And sometimes with my allowance, I would get some comic books. Now, I want to say to you, I had bags and bags and bags, paper bags full of those baseball cards, and bags and bags and bags of comic books. Loved to read comic books as a kid. Now, each side of those package of baseball cards, you may remember this if you ever had some of them, there was a stick of bubble gum, and it was awful. It was awful. It was covered with this powdery sugar, and it was so brittle. And sometimes you could chew it, and it would become like gum. Other times, you'd just spit it out. It was so old. But I remember that vividly. And I remember once coming home from college, and I asked my mother, where are all the baseball cards? Where are all my comic books? And she said, well, you had so many, Chris. And she said, I took them all, and I gave them except one bag of comic books and one bag of baseball cards. I gave all the rest of them to Goodwill. And I thought that summer I would drop out of college. I was in such shock from that what my mother had done. She saved one bag of comic books and one bag of baseball cards. So here are some comic books. This was the third issue of the comic book for Star Wars. It came out in 1977. The movie was 1978. In 1983, when I graduated from college, I finally looked up online how much this is worth. In 1983, it was already worth $5, and I've not appraised it since, nor have I appraised these other ones, so you'll see how I spent my youth. The Living Mummy, that's an early edition. Superman, and this one features Superman's dog. Superman's dog's name was Krypto. Here's an early edition of The Flash. The Green Lantern and the Green Arrow. I love them both. They're great characters. Here's an early action comic of Superman. And then, of course, you have to have Aquaman. You have to have the Hulk. I didn't bring the Hulk ones with me this morning. And I also like some of the haunted ones. This one was 20 cents when I bought it, The Unexpected. Those are a few of them that now are in plastic and we keep in our air-conditioned closet. But there are times when it's right to throw things away. There are also times, Mother, when you need to hold on to things. A lot of things, which are perfectly usable, by the way, can be repaired. I learned this week, listening to National Public Radio, about fix-it clubs. I had no idea there were fix-it clubs that existed. They often hold meetings at local libraries, and they bring gadgets. Many people bring lamps and things that they can't repair, and they show them how to fix them, how to order parts, and gain confidence in repairing old things that can be fixed again. Sometimes we get so wasteful and throw things away. You're not wasteful when you give them to the garage sale. Not at all. That's a good thing. But in saying this, however, I think the stress for most of us is in throwing things away. I think there's a tendency to want to keep things, especially things that are sentimental. Susie Ormond, you may know that name. Susie Ormond is a popular financial advisor, and this is what she advises. She says, go through your closets in your home, and everything you have not worn or used in the past year, get rid of it. And so you have 1 year until the next garage sale. But her point was, we spend way too much time warehousing and cleaning and organizing and taking care of things. It's true, isn't it? There comes a point in life where we have lots of things, and then there's a point when those things have us, right? We do like to hold on to things. Especially as I mentioned, things that are sentimental. I still have in my closet at home, in our home at Blue Jay Circle, a Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist doll that was given to me by my mother when I was in the second grade. And why I've held on to that thing, I have no idea. But it's still there looking at me in my office at home. We have heirlooms we like to keep. On the other hand, it seems better, especially when we're moving from one place to another or retiring or getting older, to cut way down on keeping. And we're working on that in our household, to cut way down on keeping. As the years goes by, it seems better to toss things or to give them away rather than to hold on to so much. And we learn that, I think, through our years. And what I want to do today for the rest of the message is lift up beyond the material things some spiritual matters that we can think about. And since it's still in January, the first month of the year, we can think about how this might be a time to resolve to get rid of stuff and to keep only that which is necessary. But how do we do that spiritually? Let me mention a few of these to you this morning. First, there is a time, and I think this is the best one of all, to get rid of regrets, to get rid of the past regrets that we have, and a time to hold on to God's forgiveness for all that's taken place. Get rid of the regrets. There's some of us who, I think, stew over mistakes that we have made over the years, or stew over the road we did not take. And many times we dwell on that too much. Perhaps there are people you have injured in your relationships without meaning to do so, things you wish you could do over. It's a time to throw away regrets if you haven't done so. Work on that this year. There are many people, I know there was a Sunday some time ago in the traditional service where I left out on purpose, one Sunday a month I was leaving out the prayer of confession, and I got taken to task on that in the traditional service. People like that prayer of confession, but what I find is they like the prayer of confession, they like to admit their regrets and their failures, but they don't listen so closely to the assurance of pardon. They like to hold on. One pastor said it this way: it is not our business to remember what God has forgotten. I like it even more the way the country preacher put it. He said, when we confess our sins, God takes our sins and throws them in the great ocean. And then God puts up a sign that says, no fishing. And so whatever it takes you this morning to visualize dumping old regrets away, do it. It may mean that you have to write it down on a piece of paper and then throw it away somehow in the trash, or perhaps put it in the fireplace or an ashtray and burn it and get rid of those regrets. And then stand on the promises of God who says, I make all things new. Embrace that. Embrace God's forgiveness. And so let us go forward into tomorrow by forgetting the regrets of the past and stowing away the graciousness of God. That would be a good thing to do in spiritual matters, because God's love and forgiveness lasts forever. Here's a second one this morning, a second spiritual matter. Abandon your anxieties about the future. That's easier said than done, but abandon your anxieties about the future and hold on to your hopes, your goals, and your dreams. Hold on to that. As we look ahead, even into this year, we're already staring still at an uncertain economy. They guesstimate we may have a recession at some point, though they say a little recession. I can't think any recession is good. A little one is better if they have to have it. But think about this. We still have this continuing, perhaps escalating war in the Ukraine. Where will that go? What will happen next in our world with it? All of which is to say we can get nervous and anxious about our future and the future of the world. I remember growing up, and I would stay up too late. I still do, but I used to stay up late because I liked the Late Show with Johnny Carson. That was a fixture in our household, and we were allowed to stay up. And I remember often Johnny Carson would be interviewing someone, and they would tell about something that happened in their life, and he would say, yikes. He said, that just reminds me. He said, when you see a light coming down the tunnel, it may be a train or a locomotive coming for you. And that's the way people live sometimes. But the fact is that in our nervousness won't change the future if we become anxious about it. Jesus said it in Matthew's gospel this morning to us. He said, let today's trouble be enough for today. Much of what we fear, you see, never happens. Personal story. I mentioned to some of you last Sunday that I was having a gastrointestinal procedure Monday morning. I announced that at our 11 o'clock service, and everyone spontaneously laughed. I didn't get it. It's just a medical procedure, and I thought perhaps if I mentioned it, other people might model that and say it's time for me to get mine too. But everybody laughed at me at 11 o'clock. They'll probably laugh at me again today. But while I was laying there Monday morning in the pre-op, in a hospital bed with that gown that has a little door in the back, nothing else on, I imagined to myself for a little while, I imagine this is it. This is it. Sometimes there are things happen with simple procedures and things go wrong with the anesthesia or whatever. And I had seen some movie recently and I thought, this is it. This is it. I won't be going home today. And they'll probably have some nice service at the church. Joyce will miss me. This is it. This is it. Maybe Gary would come, I thought. And then the words came to me in the surgical procedure. Now we thank all our God with hearts and hands and voices. What wondrous thing God has done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, which still is ours today. And then I laughed because I also thought of that whoa song we sing in this service. And I made it through. I made it through the procedure. I was euphoric, especially Tuesday morning. I think it's because all the toxins were out of my body. But I was euphoric, and here I am today. I made it through that procedure. But it's true, so much of what we fear will never happen. And yet oftentimes we focus on what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. I know it'll be bad. But what lurks out in the future is, of course, invisible to us, and that probably is a good thing. And here's the point. All the reasons I can give you this morning about not worrying will not help you unless we can, through the power of prayer, turn our future over into God's hands. That's what it will take. The old saying is true. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. I can embrace that. And so we have a choice. We can major in our fears, or we can major in our hopes and in our dreams. Again, Matthew's gospel says it best. Don't be anxious about your future, what you shall eat or drink or wear, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so remember this, my friends. If you will seek God in your life, if you will seek God's will in your life, you will have little time to dwell on your worries. And then a third thing. Thirdly, I encourage you to give up those things that may be simply wasting your time. And hold on to the powerful present. Give up time wasters. Don't ever talk about just marking time. Well, what are you doing today? Well, we're just killing time. We're just killing time. We have a big event next week, and we're just killing time this week, waiting on that. Time is so very precious. Never just kill time or mark time. So much of our time has been spent often in postponing something we've wanted to do or procrastinating. But if we wait too long, the golden opportunity to do it may pass us by. I remember growing up reading what has now become a famous quote by a man named Dr. Hartzell Wilson. You may have heard it as well. It goes like this. Today is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use it as I will. I can use it for good or waste it. But what I do today is important because I am exchanging a day of my life for it. What are you exchanging your life for? Let me urge you as persons and as Christians today to throw away old regrets and embrace the forgiveness of God. Let me encourage you to toss out anxieties about your future and hold on to your hopes and dreams. Let me encourage you to get rid of habits that waste time and throw your arms around the present moments of life. For there is a time for everything. What is it time for you to discard this morning? What is it time for you to fully embrace? May we all seek to embrace a vital faith in Jesus Christ that gives us hope in the present and that will give us strength in times of need. Let us pray as we close this morning. Oh, blessed be your name, O Lord, blessed be your name forever. And may your glory, O God, fill the earth and fill each and every moment. May we embrace your name and embrace the hopes and the dreams that you place within us, for they're God sent. In Christ's name, amen.